Welcome to the podcast today. Something crazy has happened. I mean, every week something crazy has happened, but today especially interesting. The Department of Homeland Security, the DHS, has created a new artificial intelligence safety and security board. Their goal with this is to kind of help make, you know, safe and responsible use of AI technology. This is getting criticized from some people. Some people are applauding this. There's all sorts of interesting dynamics going on here. Connor, what are you seeing in this space?
Yeah, so this is like a space that you and I talk about offline a lot, Jaden, I feel like, which is the safety and security aspect. And of course, you know, the White House came out with that executive order. Gosh, it must have been 6 months ago or something like that. But things changed so quickly in 6 months that it's just interesting to see, you know, what does this look like now? So with this Department of Homeland Security thing, the interesting thing to me is that like this board is like 22 members. And it really does, like, I agree, like, it's gotten a fair amount of criticism, right? I mean, like, it's these CEOs from the big guys, right? Like the OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, et cetera. And then you have, you know, NVIDIA, IBM, Adobe. Everybody's on there. And then you have a few of these kind of public policymakers. There's some random ones, like the governor of Maryland and the mayor of Seattle is on there, things like that. And they have some representatives from civil rights. So, look, I'm not here to bash anybody because, Jaden, I would know the first thing to do if I was in government, right? And like how to do this. And they're going to be meeting starting in, I think actually as soon as this month to try to come up with these, you know, real practical solutions for implementing it in daily life. But if you remember back on the executive order, it was a lot about obviously safety, but I don't think anybody knew, but also like a lot about jobs, a lot about upskilling. And I don't think they know exactly what direction they want to run with this. But this is just fascinating to me because where do you even start with the government in terms of this balance of, you know, what are we trying to do? I think it's sort of like a Rorschach test where everybody looks at AI safety and security and sees something very, very different, right? So like some, you know, if depending on kind of like which side you're standing on, you're either saying, yeah, this is like a legit existential threat to humanity. You know, we have to be very, very careful about this. And then on the other side, you have people saying, look, if sure, we can slow this down, but guess who's not going to slow down? Do you know what I mean? Like China and everybody else. And that's not even to mention how powerful open source models are getting with Meta and Mistral and now I guess even Grok. And so those in the hands of bad actors. So it's this, and I don't want to be the guy who's like, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a bigger gun. I don't mean that. I just mean, where do you, like, when you see this, Jaden, like, where does your head even go? Are you kind of like, okay, well, this is the right thing to do, or, oh my gosh, they're already blowing this?
I think it's tricky because, yeah, you have a lot of good points, and I think a lot, like, there's people that argue in both sides of this. You see people, you know, saying, like, the government getting involved is just slowing us down. It's slowing down innovation. This isn't good. People criticize like Europe and saying their AI regulation is like, I mean, they regulate affect it. So people, you know, give them criticism for being over regulation. And then obviously most of the innovation is coming out of the United States. I'm sure if you're from Europe listening, if you're triggered, I mean, statistically speaking, I'm not trying to be mean. That's where the most number of AI companies is coming out of. And I know, yeah, people have different opinions on that. But like at the end of the day, the easiest place to start the company is where it's going to be the most successful. So I think that's what you want to avoid is having overregulation that slows down innovation. So then the other side of that, though, is if something bad happens with AI, everyone's going to point at the government and be like, why didn't you protect us? And so, you know, there's going to be criticism on both sides of it. I think the other area that you want to be concerned about, it, and I'm not saying like I have a specific solution to this. I'm just saying these are the things that you want to be thinking about and concerned about. You also have people saying, you know, the government wants to regulate this because they want kind of, it's sort of like a power grab. They want to be able to direct it. So there's all sorts of sides of this problem. I think at the moment, like, the government getting together and having meetings and talking about it, like that is the right move because they have to at least pretend they're doing something. You know what I mean? I think they're probably not the most, they're kind of inefficient at implementing a lot of things. Governments are like, you know, this is kind of just a known thing. So like they're not super efficient. They're not always super organized, whatever. But I think if they don't do anything, they're going to seem like they're being really silly. They're really behind the times. And so they don't want to get put in that position. That's not a good optic. So they need to do these boards. They need to do these meetings. I think it's important. And then, of course, if they can pull on the CEOs of these companies, it makes us, it looks very credible, right? It's like the big people. But at the same time, then you have to ask, like, from like an anti-tech perspective, if you have the government with a board and they put the CEOs of all the big companies on, that seems like it's just kind of like an oligarchy kind of monopoly, getting all the big guys on. So like, I just feel like there's not a lot of good optics, but I don't know if there really is a winning solution. And so they're just running a play. I don't know if there's a better play at the moment that they can be running. Like, you know, if you have, they have NVIDIA, IBM, Adobe, Amazon, Cisco, AMD, I think, OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, like they have all the CEOs of all these companies on this board. So like, they're not going to regulate those companies in a way that negatively impacts them. All of them are going to vote no, that's bad for the industry. So it's like the government isn't really being set up as an opposition to whatever is going on. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe it's a collaboration for how they can keep the innovation going. So yeah, I don't know. I guess depending on what your outcome is how you'd set this up. That's all my thoughts in a blurb.
But I like how you're talking about it, because it's impossible, right? I mean, like, because it's one of these things where else, or what are the time in history? Maybe you have an idea. Like, were we ever trying to slow down tech? Do you know what I mean? Like, certainly, like, in the past, it's always just like, this tech is moving fast, and so we have to move faster. So if you think about, like, you know, genetically modified foods, or if you think about, like, you know, how, like, what car companies are doing, or, like, just kind of anything, right? It's not about slow this down. It's all about, well, what happens when we get to point A? What happens when we get to point B, et cetera, et cetera? And one of the things I think that you mentioned that I agree with also is just like the optics side, right? I mean, like, this is ultimately a political thing. It is ultimately optics. I'm not trying to be, negative about sort of like how the government runs, but that's the reality of it. Especially, I mean, we're in election year, so nothing's going to happen anyway. But one of the interesting things too is that they excluded all the social media companies, right? So there's no Elon and there was no Zuckerberg. And it's funny because when they excluded them back in, I guess during the White House executive order, during these conversations and everything, they're like, well, you know, this is really for AI, not for social media. But those companies are absolutely now AI.
Yeah, I mean,
and
I'd argue Meta is one of the top five AI companies, period. And if you look at their trajectory, like, they will be the top AI company forever at this rate.
100%. And I mean, you can even make the case that Grok, with Elon's new, what was it, the $6 billion, you know, investment with up to an $18 billion valuation or something like that. I mean, that's not, you know, to sort of like, hey, let's see how we can sort of like drive ad revenue on Twitter, right? This is like all around building AI and building frontier models, essentially. And so when we're talking about that, I think that the government is trying to kind of thread the needle here of not screwing up what we did to our teens, right, in terms of social media and everything else, but also not knowing where this is going. And that's the sort of like the slightly terrifying thing around safety in this. I just have never seen sort of like what it looks like to try to slow down models. And I think when we're talking about Department of Homeland Security, it is a slightly different, purpose of action than the executive order would have been. But I guess I am thinking, I see the criticism of like bringing in all these big players, but if you're not bringing them in, who are you bringing in? And who do they want to sort of like balance that out? Now, this is a very unbalanced board at the moment. I mean, they have a few people from like nonprofits who are just going to get sort of like shouted down. But I guess that's the interesting point of history to me, which is like trying to slow down the tech seems ridiculous. And also, when you're writing up the rules, how are they going to be classified? Because you're right about Europe too. I mean, Europe's regulations are going to be way stricter than American regulations and North American regulations. And then, but that's the problem with this, is that this is not, these aren't local technologies. Do you know what I mean? Like, these are technologies that sort of like spread throughout the planet. So, look, I mean, Claude just came out with their app, and I immediately heard that, you know, people around the world weren't getting the Claude app. So in a way, you could shut things down. But I don't know, Jade, it's one of these ones that I feel like I'm like just spinning around in circles trying to figure this one out. You know,
it's so interesting. So here's the problem that you face when you do regulation and technology, and not just technology, but any industry. There's the system is set up in a way where like inevitably kind of conflicts of interest arise, and it's really hard to get around it. So the problem is when you're trying to regulate or talk about regulating or, you know, making some rules around something like AI, for example, well, no one in Congress is an AI expert. Like, virtually no one there. Maybe there's one person, right, that just randomly their previous life was that. But like, really, this is
right. Yeah, no.
Yeah,
question.
You could say no mostly question. No one there is an expert in this, and probably no one there is an expert in, or not a very big percentage of it is an expert in steel manufacturing or in hotel lines. Like, correct. There's just all these industries where, like, politicians, a lot of them are career politicians, and maybe a handful have background. So there's all these areas that they have to regulate that they're not experts in. So what's the solution? Well, you want to bring in the experts. Then the problem arises, though, when you have, you know, situations like the FDA, and they're like, they bring in experts from the field who are the company, like, they bring in the companies they're supposed to be regulating as the experts. And, like, you can see that there's, like, that's good because those people are going to, like, tell them actual actionable advice and how the industry is. But at the same time, those companies are obviously going to tell them what's in their best interest. And I think you're not going to see anything different. Like, you know, we've seen this in, like, the FDA with, like, the whole, all the Roundup stuff from the past and all the lawsuits that came out of that and whatever, right? So it's just, it's like a tricky situation because they kind of become buddies, and then once you leave Congress, maybe go on the board of one of these companies, and it's just all kind of like in a big mix. But it's hard to make it happen in another way, because at the end of the day, like, you want experts, but at the same time, those experts are just going to kind of tip the scales in their favor. And if you just get the experts, aka the CEOs of the biggest companies, they're going to kind of push themselves to the top still.
You know, and maybe I might be naive about this. I mean, but I do actually think that, you know, the folks who are running at the top of these companies, they're not sort of like just driving revenue. I mean, yes, clearly they are, but they are a slightly different breed. Do you know what I mean? I'm not talking about Microsoft and Google, sorry, but I am talking about like OpenAI and Anthropic, and I would have said Inflection before, but like, it's one of these things where I do think that there is a little bit more balance. I don't think that we're in the kind of this social media kind of zone where it's just like, how many eyeballs can we get and how can we drive revenue to the moon? I do think that it's going to be a more measured conversation because these people have to keep everybody on their side. I don't know. I'm going to watch this space closely. I encourage people to watch it closely because, like, if you're ever going to write to your congressman about something besides like sort of potholes and things like this, this is probably.
Have you ever written a letter to a politician about potholes?
No,
ever?
Not even one. I'd love to say I did it all the time. Wait, have you?
No, I'm just curious. I forgot that that's a thing. I'm pretty sure if your tire gets pocked in a pothole, can you like call your city and then get like reimbursed for your flat tire or something?
I love this new podcast we're doing. Guys, if you're fed up with your municipal government, yeah, I mean, my gosh, I don't know. All I know is that when people write letters, they seem to sort of actually get read. And so listen, you know, why not send something in?
Well, if you enjoyed the podcast today, if you learned something new, we really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Apple or Spotify. We listen to them all. We appreciate them all. And we hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day.